a good guy.
Spitale non spaghetti, so it's a different. Thank you, Dawn. Thank you very much for your introduction, and also Pastor Chris for your church, for the really kind love for us, and also Pastor Scott for having us here. As I said, in our first hour, it's encouraging to be with more people than 2, 3, 4 that we have in our church plant now in Torino, in Turin. And it's encouraging to have like-minded believers that worship the Lord and that are eager to hear from God's Word. That is so encouraging for me, and that's what I want to do this morning with you. Let me pray first. Father, thank you for the time that we had now in worshiping you. You are holy. And we can come before you, we can pray you, we can praise you, because you saved us in your grace and mercy. We didn't deserve your salvation, but thank you for your love, for your mercy. Thank you for allowing me even to be here and preach your word. Thank you, Father, because we can hear from the Scripture, we can grow, we can learn, and we ask you for the work of the Holy Spirit in our heart to see more deeply what we are going to see from the Scripture, from your word. We want to go out from this place, edify and instructed to grow in our faith and to be faithful witness in this world, to be witness of Christ, of our Savior and Lord. Thank you for this time. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your word. We go to the letter of Paul to the Philippians, the book of Paul to the Philippians, this wonderful book. Chapter 1, we're going to read from verse 12 of the first chapter of this book, 12 until verse 18. I think many of you heard the phrase of Paul, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So we heard that phrase so many times, I think. And we love that phrase, and we use that phrase in our life. And I want to see this morning something about this phrase to understand more the meaning of this phrase. Because we sometimes can miss the deep meaning, and we will see in part through these verses 12 until verse 18, what Paul meant when he says, "For to me to live is Christ." To live is Christ. We're going to see that Paul is going to show us a great example of what it means to live Christ in our life, to live out the gospel in our life. Many times we talk about the gospel as something that we know that saved us in our, you know, the beginning of our conversion. But we stop thinking about the gospel. We try to grow and survive in our life, more or less. So we leave the gospel at the beginning of our conversion. But Paul is going to teach us this morning what it means to live out the gospel every day of our life. Not only for Paul, not only for a missionary or for a pastor, but for each one of us to live Christ in our life, to live the gospel every day of our life. To have the gospel at the center of our life. This is going to be the theme of this sermon. The advance of the gospel at the center of our life. I want to read these verses together. The Apostle Paul is writing this, verse 12. "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. The advance of the gospel at the center of our life, at the center of our aspirations. What is the center of our life? When we talk about living our life every day, what is at the center of our heart as we live our life? And especially, brothers and sisters, as we go in through difficult times, so key in this text, we will see how to put the gospel at the center of our life, even during difficult times, even during trials. In fact, we're going to see two things in these verses. The first thing, from verse 12 and 14, we'll see the priority of the gospel during difficult times, during trials. But the second part, from verse 15 until verse 18, we're going to see that Paul puts the priority of the gospel even in a time where he is attacked by some believers who are attacking him in a carnal way. It's going to be very sad to be attacked by even believers, to be challenged even by some relationships. Not only difficult times like persecution or prison, but also difficult times with people. So we will see how to face difficult times. How to face those difficult times, you will see that Paul is giving us an example to have this priority of the gospel in our life, in our daily life, even during trials and difficult times. Paul, as you know, is the author of this book, Philippians, this letter, Philippians, and this book belongs to those four epistles which are called the prison epistles. So Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, and Philippians. So he wrote this book from his prison in Rome. And we read about that in Acts chapter 28. He's in Rome for 2 years. He has a certain freedom, but he's in Rome, in prison. He's innocent, and he's in prison because of Christ, for the cause of Christ. And the Philippians know about this. So he's writing to the Philippians, and he's going to do something special. He is in prison, and he is encouraging the Philippians who are out of prison. Incredible. And we will know why he's doing that. And sometimes we think that Paul can do that, but we cannot. But we will learn how to even encourage someone who is out of prison, even though we are in prison or we face difficult times, how we face those difficulties by giving the priority of the gospel in our life. So Paul is the writer of this book, and he started in this book, in the first 11 verses, introducing himself as a bondservant, literally as a slave. So he starts off saying, I'm a slave of Christ. I'm a slave of Christ. And he's going to show what that means. We heard many times, you know, slave of Christ, servant, what does it mean? And then he starts by thanking the Lord for the faith of the Philippians. Says in verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. So he is thankful to God for the faith of Philippians. He planted this church around 50 AD. And then he's writing this letter after 10, 12 years about. So he's talking to mature believers. They have faith. They are faithful. He's thanking God because of their participation of the gospel. So they are strong believers, but there's something that he wants them to know and to learn. In fact, in verse 9 until verse 11, he also intercedes for them. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve, discern the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So they are faithful, but it's interceding for them because he wants them to grow. There's never a time where we can say, you know, I'm done, so I know everything. But we always grow and more, and Paul is talking and interceding for them, for their growing love. And he says, with real knowledge and discernment, we grow in love when we know the Scriptures, when we know God through the Scriptures, when we have discernment, then we grow in our love for Christ, for the church, for the people, for unbelievers. So he's interceding for them after, thank the Lord for their faith. But in verse 12, even before starting exhorting them, because he's going to exhort them in verse 27, the chapter 1, when he says, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. He's going to tell them, okay, you know the gospel, you have faith, but now conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. But even before saying this, he wants them to know something about his own circumstances. He wants them to know something about himself, what he's facing, and how he's facing those difficult times. So let's start with the first part, the priority of the gospel, even during trials, from verse 12 until verse 14. Paul says this, first of all, now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. He starts saying, I want you to know something that probably you miss. Probably the Philippians were confused. You know, Apostle Paul is in prison. You know, what a waste of time. He's in prison. He could be out proclaiming Christ. God, what are you doing? But Paul wants them to know something important about his own circumstances. And he says this, that my circumstances, I want you to know, have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. There was this confusion in the Philippians' heart, but he wants them to know that his imprisonment, rather, turned out to be for the progress, turned out for the progress, for the greater progress of the gospel. So he's not focused on his imprisonment. He's not complaining. But he's focused on what? On the progress of the gospel. And that is why he's encouraging the Philippians. Because not concerned about his difficult times, although he's innocent, he's inside there in Rome. But he's focused on the gospel and says, wait a minute. Do not be discouraged. Because my imprisonment turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. He's so focused on the gospel, on the progress of the gospel, on the advance of the gospel in his life. Yes, he's in prison, but the word of God is not in prison. 2 Timothy 2:9. The word of God is not in prison. So he's facing his difficult time by thinking about the gospel. By thinking about the gospel. He knew that he was there by God's sovereignty. God had already told him that he was going to be in Rome. And he wasn't wrong. He was at the center of the Roman Empire. Right there. Although he went through in prison. Being in prison. So he's in prison. And he's encouraging the Philippians. And want them to know that his circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. And now he's going to show the Philippians in which way his circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. In which way? In two ways. We see how the gospel was advancing through his imprisonment. In two ways. The first way is seen in verse 13. So his circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. Many people, the guards, the soldiers of the emperor Nero, knew that he was there because of Christ. He was evangelizing. It was a great opportunity to evangelize the soldiers, many of them, the whole Praetorium, and to everyone else. They came to know that he was there for Christ, for his love for Christ and his faith in Christ. What a testimony. Amen. That it was the way his circumstances turned out to be for the progress of the gospel. He's so focused on Christ and the gospel that he doesn't see his imprisonment as a limitation. On the contrary, he's preaching in the prison. And many soldiers and many other people heard the gospel. And most likely many got saved through his evangelism. In Acts chapter 16, when Paul planted this church. He was in prison, even there. And we read that he was singing in prison the Lord as he was in prison, and the people were hearing him. That was his attitude. That was his life, concerned about the gospel and proclaiming Christ in prison. That's why his circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. His focus on the gospel, that is preaching the gospel even in prison, as he's in prison, in jail. But not only we see this greater progress of the gospel through his evangelism, but also in verse 14 we see also this progress through the edification of the believers. Listen to what Paul says in verse 14. He says this, "And most of the brethren," so the believers, "trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear." Because of him, his faithfulness, his example, those outside were preaching Christ with fear, without fear, but with courage, without fear anymore. They trusted the Lord as they saw Paul to be an example, faithful, even as he's in prison to proclaim Christ. So not only evangelism, but also the edification of the believers. So his circumstances turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, because many heard the gospel right there in Rome. Think about this, right there in Rome. And there are believers who are hearing about him, and they are preaching the word of God without fear. Without fear, but with courage, because of his faithfulness, because of his love for Christ, because he was not complaining. He was not asking the Lord why he was there. He was thinking about that gospel. That was the way he was facing his trial, thinking about the progress of the gospel, thinking about the progress of the gospel. And so many believers started to speak the word without fear, following the example of the Apostle Paul. This is the way we see the progress of the gospel. Again, through the edification of the saints who are outside jail, and through the evangelism. And again, many times we might be focused on the gospel, but just at the beginning of our conversion, and then sometimes Sunday morning. But the question is, are we living out the gospel every day during our difficult time? Is the focus during my time, my difficult time, on, for instance, for me, on how many people are in the church there in Italy? Is the focus on how the people respond, well or not well? Or is the focus on proclaiming Christ anyway? Because if I'm not focused on the gospel, I'm going to be very discouraged. So Paul is showing us what it means to live is Christ. He says, "For me to live is Christ." That's what it means. He's living the gospel even during that time, the difficult time. The priority of the gospel, even during trials, during persecution, during any even physical suffering. You know, I was in the hospital last year. I don't want to go in specific, but I was in bad shape. And there was a priest who came to do his sacrament, you know, with me. And so in my heart, I confess, I said, you know, "Lord, this is not the time to evangelize. I mean, I'm so sick. I couldn't even stand up." I don't want to go into details, but I couldn't even stand up. I was so sick. But he came in anyway. So in God's grace, I realized that I had to preach. And so I had him sit down, and then I started to proclaim Christ and the word of God to this man and share the gospel. He got mad after, but he heard the gospel. He heard the gospel. But again, in those times, are we focused on our difficult times, on our pains, or are we consumed of the gospel? Because this is what matters for us. And you know, when we are so focused, we are so rejoicing in him that we don't even think about our difficulties. If you read this book, Philippians, you will see Paul using this word, "I rejoice, I rejoice. my joy from the first time, says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer. In chapter 2, when he's talking about his persecution and suffering, verse 17 of chapter 2, but even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. He's talking about joy. How is that possible? To talk about joy when you are under persecution. And also the Philippians were under persecution. They were suffering, and he's encouraging them. But how is that possible? When we are so consumed and focused on the gospel. When we live out the gospel in our life, then our joy will rise up from that focus on the gospel of Christ. The second part, the priority of the gospel, even when attacked, even when criticized by someone, by people. Not only difficult times, physical trials, persecution, but also when attacked by people, even believers, during difficult times with people. Verse 15, Paul says this, he talked about those brethren who spoke the word without fear, but now he specifies something. He unveils something very, very important. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife. But some also from goodwill. He's unveiling that there are some were preaching from goodwill, but some from envy and strife. In the context, we know that these are believers, although immature, because Paul is not saying that their gospel is not sound. We will see that he rejoices in the fact that they are preaching, but their attitude is wrong. And he's going to show us how he reacts to this attitude. Powerful. He says, some are preaching from envy and strife, and some from goodwill. Then in verse 16, he talks about those who are preaching from goodwill. They do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. So there are some who are preaching out of goodwill. They love Paul. They are loving Christ. And they are in harmony with the ministry of the Apostle Paul. So they are proclaiming Christ, very encouraged, in harmony with the Apostle Paul. They are loving him. They are so encouraged by him. But in verse 17, the Apostle Paul talks about those who are preaching from envy and strife. And he points out something very important. He says this, the former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. This is really shocking. Some are preaching from goodwill, out of love for him, in harmony with his ministry, but some are preaching from envy and strife. From envy and strife. Envy. These people are jealous of the Apostle Paul. They are jealous because of his apostleship, of his authority, of his abilities. And so they are preaching out of envy. So they know that Paul is in prison, but they're outside. And so they want to compete with him. It's almost a competition. And strife. No sincerity, but strife. No love for Christ, but strife. Selfish ambition, it says. They proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition. This can happen to live our life and do things, even in the church, from selfish ambition because of us, for our own glory. This is what was going on here. Strife, envy, selfish ambition, no sincerity, no pure motives. Their preaching was a competition. So the problem here is not the message. We're going to see this. The problem is their attitude, their evil motives, their heart. They are so focused on themselves. They are so focused on their own ministry. They want to serve. And now Paul is in prison, so they have the freedom to do and to be and to put on display themselves. It's a good opportunity. Paul is in prison, but we are outside. You know, we don't know exactly what they were doing, but we read this out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. They were thinking to cause him distress as they were preaching and teaching. They thought to cause him distress. Probably they even criticized him. Probably they even said, you know, he's in prison because he's sin, but we are out. We are faithful. They were focused on themselves. They put on display their own ministry, preaching not with pure motives, not with sincerity, but with hypocrisy. Focus on themselves. And this can be something that happens in the church. Can happen. What is our focus as we serve the Lord? As we sing, as we play, as I preach, what is my focus? As I go on into the mission field, what is my focus? To build something, to show myself? And so I'm happy when I have people and I'm not happy when I don't have people. I'm sad when the church is not growing. If I'm sad when the church is not growing, there's a problem. The focus is not anymore Christ or the gospel, but it is the ministry. But ministry for Paul was a means to an end, was not the end. And so we have these people preaching out of selfish ambition. And the question is this, how does Paul react to this attitude? What does Paul say? Well, Paul does something that is so foundational for our life. We know what it means when he says, for to me to live is Christ. We see from this response, verse 18, he says this, what then? What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. Do you see what he's saying? Even though they're preaching, not with pure motives, but they're preaching Christ. And what matters for me is the proclamation of Christ, whether my mouth or by somebody else's mouth, Christ is proclaimed. That is what he's focused on, to proclaim Christ in his life. And if they are doing that and he's not doing, although in the prison he did that, but he's not doing outside, he's happy. He says, and in this I rejoice. His joy was not that he was doing that, but that Christ was proclaimed. So there's a difference to rejoice because I preach, which should be, you know, it's good to rejoice when we preach. But do we rejoice when somebody else is preaching and we cannot do because we are in hospital or for other reasons? If we're not rejoicing, it's because we're not focused on Christ, on the gospel, but on ourselves. So when we say that we want to live Christ, the gospel in our life, is the focus on the gospel? Is the gospel at the center of our life? Is the proclamation of the name of Christ at the center of our heart aspirations? What is my aspirations? And again, when I put myself as an example, if I go as a missionary, I can be totally wrong if I'm focused on the ministry and not on Christ being proclaimed. Not only for you, for everyone else, for a minister, for a pastor. He is focused on how many people there are in the church or on any other things or on Christ. Paul is showing us that we should be focused, that we have to be focused on the gospel, on Christ, on the progress of the gospel. Even when we are attacked. You know, as we plant a church in our city in Torino, we face many slander. Because we are there, we want to preach Christ, and we expose what many are not doing. You're not getting loving reactions. And now you want to have a good reputation, which is not wrong. But is my focus on my reputation or on the proclamation of Christ? Yes, many people can speak in an evil way about me and say things that many others will maybe even believe. But am I focused on how people view me or on the proclamation of the gospel? When I'm focused on the proclamation of the gospel, I'm living out the gospel. I'm focused on Christ. And then when I'm focused on Christ, we see that we rejoice. We rejoice not because of the circumstances, but because we are focused on Christ in those circumstances, whether they are good or bad. So this is what Paul is showing in these few verses. We know from these verses what it means to live out the gospel, to live is Christ. Focus on the proclamation of Christ, on the progress of the gospel. Not focus on ourselves. Paul is not focused on his imprisonment. He's not complaining. He's innocent. Think about this. He's innocent for 2 years. And he had been 2 years in prison also before. So many years, 4 years of imprisonment, even though he's innocent. But he's rejoicing. He's rejoicing. And he does that, you know, verse 4, chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. He's talking about joy in this book. And we know why. Because he's focused on the progress of the gospel. Not on himself, on whether something is good in his life, on whether everything is perfect, but he's focused on Christ. In anything he does, he's focused on Christ. And he's giving us an example, what it means to live out the gospel. He's going to say to the Philippians this phrase, that I read that before, verse 27, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So the Philippians were believers. Their faith, Paul was thankful for them, for their participation in the gospel, but there was something missing to conduct, to live ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. And what that means? We continue. So that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same comfort which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. The Philippians were suffering because of the faith in Christ. They were going through a difficult time. And Paul is giving them an example how to face those difficult times. How you rejoice in those difficult times if you're focused on Christ. If you love Christ to the point that you want to proclaim him and you don't care about what is going on in your life. In any circumstances, even physical pains, even trials, persecution of any kind. Christ at the center of our life. May the Lord use these few verses to encourage us to give priority of the gospel in our life as we live our daily life. What is at the center of our aspirations? What is at the center of our heart, of our mind, of our thinking? How do we face all the difficult times that we will face? How do we face those? Is Christ, the proclamation of Christ, at the center? As we work, everywhere you are, in your age, any age, are we proclaiming Christ by the way we conduct ourselves and by the way we speak? Because that is what gives glory to God, as we live out the gospel in our life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word. Thank you because we can understand your word, but study, and we want to live out these truths we heard this morning. And we know that only by your grace and by the work of your spirit we can live these truths out in our life. Pray for this church. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the Lord, for you, for your word. They may they grow and be a witness, faithful witness of the gospel in this city, in this land. And may they rejoice by focusing on the proclamation of your name, on the gospel. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.